Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Scott, what were you saying about the west side of the state, another drowning?
Yeah, I just get a Google alert. Any news story that mentions Lansing or Michigan, I get those. And there's planes and helicopters and divers searching for another missing swimmer over there in Lake Michigan.
It's amazing how often this happens, not just in Lake Michigan, but people who are not careful. A lot of times alcohol and water safety do not go hand in hand. Want to welcome in our next guest, Captain Tom Crawford. Spends a lot of time out on the water during the summers here in Michigan. Hello, Tom.
Well, happy Labor Day to you, Jack.
Happy Labor Day to you. I know you've been slaving away all day. Tina's probably had a big honey-do list for you, right?
No, she took my daughter Taylor back to CMU, so I've just been grocery shopping, going to go do a little running tonight, so, and then watch a little Boise State take on Va Tech tonight in college football. So all a good day.
That's right, and we should let everyone know we gave our picks Saturday at the end of the Jack and Tom show, and we only differed on one. We're 7-0. Of course, I have Boise, and you have Virginia Tech here, so one of us will have our first blemish of the season.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's always very difficult to, kind of get a good vantage point of where these teams are, you know, before the season even starts. And I don't think we're going to know for a couple of weeks. But I was pleased, I must admit, Michigan's defense played better than I thought they would. And that was a good win for the Wolverines. Very emotional day down there in Ann Arbor. It was great. And the crowd was into it. And now they have a big test looming when they go to South Bend this Saturday.
Yeah, when you say a very emotional day, tell us about that, because besides the dedication of the stadium, there were some other elements to this.
Well, it was like two things back-to-back. You know, first, the tribute to the stadium, the historical element of the stadium was, demonstrated on the video screen with Keith Jackson doing the voiceover, and then Brock Mueller, who is the brother of Elliot Mueller, who is a backup offensive lineman for Michigan, was in a horrific car accident that killed his brother's girlfriend, and then his dad passed away, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And that was in December of, or Christmas Eve, 2007. So challenged himself to come back. Rich Rodriguez, Mike Barwitz have been encouraging him. He was going to walk across the stadium to midfield and hit the banner to lead his team out, so to speak, lead his brother's team out. He did that, and I'm telling you what, if you were rolling tears and you don't have an ounce of sensitivity in you, because that was just an incredible moment. I can't recall a more emotional moment in that stadium. It was unbelievable.
It's amazing how something like that can influence the outcome of a game, Tom. I flash back again to 1999 when Am Campbell had the fumble recovery for a touchdown against Oregon. But the year before that, and this is a week after he'd had the halo inserted, and he manages to make it out of the tunnel to the middle of the field for what looked like a Notre Dame rout of Michigan State. Next thing we knew, the Spartans led 42-3.
Yeah, I mean, you're really, emotion's such a big part of athletics, and this was, I mean, this situation in Ann Arbor with Brock Mueller, I mean, the doctors gave him 1% chance of walking, and he had, kind of canes, kind of crutches, to get across, but just an amazing accomplishment. I do recall the Am Campbell comeback. I think America embraces comebacks, and particularly when the odds are against you and you have a traumatic accident, and so it was a special moment and a beautiful day in Ann Arbor. I mean, it was cool, it wasn't hot, the new stadium rolled out, I love my new seats, couldn't be better than a big Michigan victory.
Well, America loves comebacks. They seem to be in love with this Michigan football team. I'm hearing how great everything was, and I don't know that Connecticut was ready for prime time. Looked like it kind of wet its pants a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't evaluate. You know, like I said just a few minutes ago, it's just way too early to tell. I mean, I almost, you know, as I said earlier in the year, I said that, you know, they're going to, last week I said that Michigan's going to win their first six, and then they're going to kind of succumb a little bit to the, you know, the punishment of the Big Ten. Because, you know, the makeup of the Michigan team, I mean, I'm not saying they're frail, but they're not Big Ten in stature, you know, and they I don't know if they can hold up, particularly when the weather gets bad, when they're throwing the ball around. But I'll tell you what, this is a rushing game though. Yesterday, and it's run first, throw second,
right,
and with Bernard Robinson, and he was fantastic.
Well, that's the Pat White offense of West Virginia. I can say two things I learned definitively. And I suspected both of them, but now I have proof. One is that Denard Robinson is awfully fast, and if he can hold up, if he's durable enough, he's going to drive defenses nuts. And the other one is that Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State is the real deal.
Yeah, you had mentioned that earlier in the preseason, you know, and flagged me on that kid. And, boy, what a number 24, I think of Eric Allen. Or was Sherm Lewis 24?
Sherm Lewis was 20. And this guy is about two Eric Allens glued together.
Yeah, but I mean, Eric Allen was 24. But I mean, the number resonates with me, you know. What a debut! And my God, they got three solid running backs there. So running back is not the a problem area for Michigan State. It's obviously going to be a strong suit, and as long as they get their secondary shored up, like everybody seems to need to have their secondary on top of their game this year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it for both of these teams is going to depend on the pass rush. Certainly with Michigan, with all the young players, and Michigan State, it doesn't look like these teams are going to be able to cover for 5 seconds. They have to figure a way to get pressure on the quarterback, and if they can't do it, they're going to have to win some track meets.
Yeah, I think so. Michigan was benefited from you know, some drop balls yesterday, and Zach Frazier had lofted the ball a few times when there was open receivers. And you're right, Jack. You got to put pressure on the quarterback when you have secondaries that are vulnerable. In Michigan's case, they're very young, so that's going to be key in how they do against some of those big offensive lines like Wisconsin, and when they play in Iowa. That's going to really be the true test of how their secondary can hold up.
Yeah, and I think that when you get a little confidence early in the year, it can make a big difference. But fans can overreact to that too, Tom. We've seen it with Michigan State before where they get off to the big start. We saw it last year with Michigan, 4-0, and then they play Michigan State and everything falls apart. So you can't read too much into week one.
No, and I don't think, quite honestly, I don't think Michigan fans are ones to really – perhaps they might have last year, but I think they're going to be a little more guarded this year. It's going to be a more of a show-me attitude. And you know, Michigan actually, they took Michigan State in overtime last year. So, I mean, it was – and then the next week they played Iowa really tough in Iowa City on a Saturday night that was right down to the wire. So, and then they kind of, you know, imploded a little bit beyond that with a Penn State loss and then the Purdue loss, which were really bad losses. And so, you know, time will tell. Michigan State, I understand you told me that you texted me that they made quite a few mistakes, so that probably could have been more one-sided then.
Well, they had 11 penalties, right, Scott? 11 penalties and 9 drop balls we kept track of. 7 on offense and 2 on defense. I really should have been about 56-7, but that's kind of the way it goes. You know, when we talk about results, and football becomes a zero-sum game, it can only be one winner. But I think it's very confusing sometimes when you see a game that's close in score and wasn't close in the game. And I can give you an example both ways in the Michigan-Michigan State series. There was a game where Domino Pecco picked up a fumble and returned it in the end zone, and next thing you know, you've got a game that comes down to the wire. And it really was never that close. Michigan dominated the entire game. And last year in Spartan Stadium, I still think Michigan would have won that game if they'd gone for 2 points because Michigan State was so low. But for 55 minutes, Michigan State had more than triple the yardage of Michigan. And then, of course, next thing you know, hey, Michigan's in overtime and had a shot to win it. So Sometimes the score is very deceptive.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the 0-3 game was another example. Michigan dominated that game.
Right.
Chris Perry had 51 carries, and yet, you know, State was thrown in the end zone to tie it. And then you're right about last year, how Michigan got back in that game against State after being dominated pretty much for four quarters was strange. But it was a strange game and exciting ending. They always are, and can't wait till October 9th.
Well, Monday Night Football will give away to the pros after tonight, but this is really college football's rollout weekend. Started last Thursday, and you had games all the time. I don't know if you will see a more exciting game than that Tulsa-East Carolina game yesterday afternoon.
Yes. It's nice to have a 6'8" tight end or a wide receiver, whatever he was,
yeah,
leap up like that. That was reminded me of Morris Stroud of the old Kansas City
right,
Chiefs.
Right, right. You know, I thought it was interesting the way that ended too, Tom. Now you got 51-49. You've got 100 points scored, and everyone is having a jam pile in the end zone. So of course they throw the celebration flag. There's no time left on the clock, but they're going to make him run a conversion play, and so they back him up and they make him snap the ball. Because theoretically, you could fumble, they could pick it up, go for two, and then you'd have 51-51 in overtime.
Right. I think it's just fall on it, flop on it. What an exciting game that was. And the North Carolina game against LSU was exciting. I was really disappointed Carolina came short on that. The valiant comeback. What a great quarterback debut they had. A lot of excitement over the weekend, Jack. Just getting started. I cannot wait till next week. The 3:30 games, Michigan-Notre Dame and Ohio State and Miami going head to head, and you got Penn State and Bama at 7:00. I'm already girding my loins for next Saturday.
You know, it's an exciting game with Northwestern Saturday.
I
saw the way that wound up, but Wildcats need a little bit of help there and a favorable call to get that 23-21 win in Nashville over Vandy.
Right, that was a good win. You know, good start for the Big Ten, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. Purdue, a little bit of a letdown. I didn't think they looked that they were ready to play. And I guess I was disappointed by Illinois, but what's new?
Yeah, Illinois played them tougher than I thought they would. I didn't think they'd cover. They lost
by 10 or whatever. Well, they were up 13-0, right? And then they got up
and they were up a halftime. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Illinois is Illinois when they play Missouri. And I think this is it for Ron Zook if he didn't get this ship righted here.
Yeah, Illinois only plays well against Michigan lately. Other than that, it's...
Last year they did, that's for sure, in that second half.
Yeah, well, and the year before was that game in Ann Arbor, right?
Oh, yeah, Jeff Cumberland.
They put 50 up that day.
15-yard lead on everybody else. Why do you bring back these bad memories, Jack? This is terrible.
Well, I figure after the win you had Saturday over Connecticut, you can handle it, Tom.
Yeah,
enjoy the game tonight, and good luck to your Hokies. I hope they finish second tonight.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, and look forward to Saturday, our show again on Jack and Tom.
Yeah, we've got some great guests, and looks like we may have Howard Schnellenberger on the show. Keith Jackson coming up a week from Saturday, and we'll be in full steam ahead for college football. Tom Crawford, co-host of the Jack and Tom Show, joining us. We'll be right back with our final segment. Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.